Jeremiah chapter 23. And over the coming couple weeks before Christmas, we're going to be looking at prophecies in the Old Testament that speak of the coming of our Lord. Now, we've highlighted a couple of them, but here we'll look at the righteous branch, the branch of David. And if you know anything about Jeremiah, you'll know that, if you want to have a good cry, read Jeremiah, because it is devastating. It is devastating. In fact, it's hard to sometimes follow a train of thought through Jeremiah because it's very disjointed. And you wonder whether Jeremiah arranged his book that way to speak of the experience he was going through. But we're familiar with the hopeful passages of Jeremiah, typically. So we're reading another hopeful passage here. But while we read this hopeful passage, don't ignore just the awful experience that Jeremiah goes through in this book, in his life, and then also the experience that the Jews are going through. Remember how awful it was. They're going through a period of time where their city is about to be destroyed. Their people carried off into exile to a foreign land. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and who will do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So then, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. Amen. Let's pray. Father, fill us with your Spirit that we might be filled with understanding of this passage. Speak to us this morning. Speak directly, speak clearly, we pray, through your word. Lord, may I speak faithfully to your word. And may you glorify yourself this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you heard your master's voice this morning? Are you hearing your master's voice? The Bible, over and over, uses this illustration of a flock, which is God's people, and the shepherd, which is God. Over and over. And where this really has struck home to me is as I was meditating on this passage this week, I remembered a time when Evie and I were hiking up a Himalayan mountain. Now, a Himalayan mountain, this is a foothill, so it's much bigger than anything, most of what we have here in the United States. So we're climbing up this mountain, and the pathway is so treacherous. You kind of just, it's so steep, you just want to stay on the path. You don't even want to look off one side or the other. You want to be careful not to misstep, and because then you could fall right off the side and go rolling down about 2,000 or 3,000 feet. Stay on the path. And as we're walking on this path, we're looking up, and you can see up in the distance, there's these fields well above you. Fields. And then all of a sudden, the treacherous though, you don't want to just run off the path into the fields. All of a sudden, I hear this whistle. Someone's whistling in the distance. And I hear a voice. And I hear commands being given. And then I see this flock of sheep come, not just timidly or daintily walking, we're scared. No, they're listening to the voice of the shepherd. And they're coming over in this treacherous terrain like it's nothing. He gives a command. They turn left. They go up into higher places of the mountain, which we wouldn't dare. We never made it up to the top of the mountain. We made it about 2/3 of the way up. But I was in awe of this scene where the shepherd would just, and all these sheep, maybe 100 of them, would go to left, to the right, up, down. They would go all over this treacherous terrain, and not one of them fell. Not one of them had any trouble that I saw. We watched them for maybe an hour migrate up to the higher points of the mountain. Why were they okay? They were listening to the shepherd's voice. They were listening very carefully, and they were obeying their shepherd. They were doing what the shepherd wanted them to, exactly what the shepherd wanted them to do. You had weak ones, you had old sheep, you had young sheep, you had inexperienced sheep, whatever. They all listened and they moved as one to the voice of their shepherd. Well, the question for us is, do you, this morning, now you may have heard them yesterday, but do you this morning hear your shepherd's voice? Do you not even know what I'm talking about? Have you never heard my shepherd's voice? Some of you may have heard your shepherd's voice in the past, but you've strayed off the path. And though you may think you're fine, you're really in a dangerous area. You don't see that drop off. You don't see, oh, well, I'm a sheep, I can make that. No, you can't. And your shepherd will tell you. He's warning, he's screaming. Listen to your shepherd screaming at you. Some of you have never heard a shepherd's voice before. You've never heard the voice of God speaking through the Scriptures, speaking His gospel, opening your eyes and saying, look at my love for you. Look at my grace for you. Look at this extravagant way what I've done for you. And now listen to me. Follow me. Come walk with me. Maybe you've never heard that before. And so this morning the call is to, for the first time, listen to your shepherd's voice. Or maybe you're going through such difficulties in your life that it's drowning out. You're looking like around like one of those sheep, and you're seeing tigers in the grass that aren't there. You're seeing real troubles that, if you're listening to your shepherd's voice, you're going to be okay. You're really going to be okay. But you're seeing the drop-off and you're just fixated on it. You're not fixated on what your shepherd is telling you. We could be in all different places today, people of God. But the call is to listen to our shepherd's voice. Because he has a message for us. He has a message for us. He had a message through the prophet Jeremiah. Did you hear how often he said, the Lord declares, the Lord declares, the Lord declares. He has a message for you. The Lord declaring, like he did back then, that there is hope. There is hope. He wants you to see that there is hope. These people are in a bad way. They need hope. They need to know that they can take one step in front of the other. And if you're like that, your shepherd is saying, listen to my voice. There is hope. There is hope. How does it come? It comes through God, the Good Shepherd. It comes through Him as He raises up the righteous branch, which is Jesus Christ. And it comes as He delivers His people in the new Exodus. The new Exodus. So here, we have hope first. Why can we have hope? We have hope because of God's promises. God's promise of Himself. God's promise of God, the Good Shepherd. So we have hope because of God's promise, the Good Shepherd. I've heard numerous stories. You hear it, so I've heard it so often. It's almost cliche, but I've heard numerous stories of people who've had abusive fathers. You know, they've had a horrible father, and so they struggle when the scriptures refer to God as Father. They have a hard time with it because of what their father was like. And so every time they hear the word father, they get this image in their head, this abusive image. The word itself causes them to cringe, causes them to back away from the Heavenly Father, just because of the word itself. And what God wants them to know is that I am a father. Not like you never, in fact, you never had a father in reality. If your father was abusive like that, if your father failed to love you, you never really had a father. Because what I am like as a father is miles of difference. Well, here in this passage, the people of Israel have had bad shepherds for years and years and years. Bad shepherds, awful shepherds. Look at verse 1 here. Verse 1 says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture." Verse 2, "Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to his shepherds, the two who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, I have not bestowed care on them. I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord." The shepherds. What is God referring to in this passage? He's referring to in the past chapters of Jeremiah, there's been king after king after king who have not led God's people to God. They've devoured the sheep. They've been a wolf in shepherd's clothing, so to speak. They've had teeth. They've feasted themselves on the people. They've done their own thing. They haven't listened to the voice of their head shepherd. And it's not only including kings here. The focus is kingship, but it includes the priests. It includes the prophets in the following chapters. It includes all the leaders of Israel. That these bad shepherds who are scattering the flock. They're scattering the flock. They're destroying God's people. And we've seen, you know, actually, what's the word for a pastor? What's it connected to? A shepherd. A shepherd. So a pastor is a shepherd. An elder is a shepherd. And you've probably heard stories or have seen numerous situations where when you have a bad shepherd, it scatters the flock. A friend of mine's church, there were two pastors. There was an assistant and a senior pastor. The assistant ran off with the secretary. Scattered the flock. When a shepherd or leadership goes astray, it has just deep, deep impact on the flock. And here you see bad shepherds scattering the sheep, bad shepherds devouring the flock, not doing what they were supposed to do, which was what? Bestowing care upon them. The shepherd is supposed to care for the flock. What's their problem? Their problem is common to us all. It's sin. What's the problem with the shepherds? They denied God. They're not listening to God. They're going their own way. Which is the same situation that we're in. We sin, and therefore we have the judgment of God placed upon us. But what does God do? He doesn't just say, well, your shepherds are bad, your leaders are bad, and so, you know, you're not, you have no hope, you're out of luck, I'm just going to bring destruction on you, and that's it. No, what does He say? Listen to what He says in verse 3. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and increase in number." I myself, see, you've had bad shepherds, he's saying to Israel. We've seen, we know what it's like to have bad leadership. Whether it's political leadership or whatever, we know what it's like to sit under bad leadership. It's almost intolerable. It is intolerable. Leadership is bad because of sin. And yet God is saying, I'm going to bring you back to your pasture. I'm going to bring you into my kingdom. I know my flock. I know where you are. I'm going to bring you back and gather you as one flock. I am the good shepherd. Can you hear that in the background? If you've ever read through Jeremiah, I'm just amazed how much of Jesus' words and ministry come from Jeremiah, or has Jeremiah in the background. And again, here in the background of this passage is this concept of God being the good shepherd. God being the good shepherd. I myself will gather the remnant where I have driven them and bring them back to the pasture, their own pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. So if you've had a problem, I mean, some of us have wrong conceptions of God. We think of Him as a tyrant. That's not the type. God is powerful. God is sovereign. But look at the kind of God He is. I myself will gather them. I myself will gather them. And not only did He gather them back then, but He is gathering His flock today. You are gathered here because your shepherd has stepped in and has brought you here. You're not here because of any accident, because you just happened to walk in here. You may think you just woke up and said, oh, I might as well go to church. But that's not what's going on. Your shepherd is watching over you. Your shepherd is gathering you. But he also, here, verse 4, I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. He places shepherds. He'll replace the bad leadership with good leadership. He'll replace the bad kings with good kings. Or actually, he explains it in the next section. He'll replace all those bad kings with the good king, the righteous branch. That's how he's shepherding us, by giving us good leaders. You can even hear the words of Jesus here. They will no longer be afraid or terrified. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing. Jesus knows those who are His. He brings them into His flock. Isn't that a comforting thing? If you belong to Him, no matter how far you stray, He will bring you back. Amen? If you belong to Him, He will watch over you. What a wonderful promise. So if the circumstances of your life are threatening to overwhelm you, they will not make you go missing. He knows your name. He's watching over you. He is the good shepherd. He is bringing you to better pasture. You will not be missing. And in fact, even though the circumstances of your life might say, it looks like I'm missing, God has lost me, that's not the case. Sometimes sheep go through difficult periods. Sometimes sheep go through treacherous situations. Sometimes there's a pack of wolves, and the shepherd has to lead the sheep by them. There's no other way. And yet the shepherd stands guard, and the wolves never attack. Maybe it's like that for you right now. You hear the voice of your Lord. You can hope. You can have great hope. Why? Because He is your good shepherd. He has promised to be your good shepherd. And He isn't just promised to be your good shepherd. He is your good shepherd right now. Do you hear His voice? Do you hear the hope He gives? you don't have any reason then with the shepherd. We might be afraid for a period of time, but we have no good reason to be afraid. It says here that they will no longer be afraid or terrified. Why? Because the bad shepherds have been gotten away with. The good shepherds are brought in with God as their head shepherd. God Himself is stepping in to shepherd His flock. Now, He also says that He will shepherd His people through His servant. We have hope because of the promise of the branch. We have hope because of the promise of the branch. One thing that I noticed this World Series this year was both the Yankees and the Phillies, you could never count either team out. I think there was one game when the Phillies had a huge lead. It looked like the Phillies were blowing them out, and the Yankees began to chip that away at the lead and made it interesting. But neither team could you count out with such great hitters on the team. But even Chase Utley and Ryan Howard, with a swing of the bat, they could change the game. They could make it closer, or they could win the game. But even Chase Utley and Ryan Howard failed. And men fail. God promises to send a game changer who will not fail. His name is Jesus Christ. He promises, so He's saying, look, my people, Israel, my Judah, look, hope in me, because I am the good shepherd. I am coming to pass to shepherd you. Hope, because I am sending my righteous branch, who ends up being Jesus. Look at verses 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. The name by which he will be called is the Lord our righteousness. Do you hear the voice of your shepherd? There is hope for Judah. There is hope for Israel. There is hope for us. Why? Because the righteous branch is coming. Now, God brings judgment upon His shepherds here. Something you should know is that the king at this time, his name is Zedekiah, which means the Lord is righteous. Now, what does God say that His renamed His king will be named, this branch that comes, the Lord our righteousness? He's saying, look, Zedekiah, where you failed, where you've run your own way, I'm going to send a king unlike any other who will be, you failed, your name called you to something, but you failed. This king will fulfill what you failed, Zedekiah, the Lord our righteousness. So he's saying, look to the branch. Find your hope into the branch. He will succeed where men have failed, where shepherds have failed, where kings and priests and prophets have failed. He will succeed where we have failed, where we tried to do it our own way, where we tried to work our way back to God, or we tried but failed. He will succeed. Look to the coming of the Messiah. Listen to the voice of your shepherd. He is sending the Messiah. And what, when Jesus comes, what happens? Hope comes in Jesus Christ. See, if Jesus never came, this whole story in the Old Testament is unfinished. This whole story kind of ends, and what are the Jews still looking for? They're still looking for the Messiah. Their story is not over. We have kind of like an the end of the story, and then an appendix, so to speak. It's a big appendix, isn't it? Amen. The final chapter has yet to be written, to be enacted, where God comes to judge the world. But it's not like if you just have the Old Testament, it's like half the story. Looking to the Messiah. The Messiah has not yet come for the Jews. But here, for us, the Messiah has come. Amen? The branch has come. The branch has come. We see now, we look back to Jeremiah and we see the promise of His coming. We see the story of His birth. We see that He has come. We see that He has come. He has done His work. He has gone to the cross for our sake and died for our sins. We see that so that when we believe in Him, we are saved from our sins. Amen? And we see that He has gone into heaven and is now, what is He doing? He is reigning from heaven. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. And we see Him reigning with wisdom, with justice, with righteousness. He is unlike any other. Hope comes with Jesus. Hope comes with the righteous branch. And we can have hope today as we sit in our seats or stand up, one of us stands up here. We can have hope today. Why? Because of Jesus. Because He is now reigning as the Messiah, as the promised one, as the anointed one from on high, reigning over our lives. The righteous branch has come. So if you have reason to hope, Jesus has come, the righteous branch. One way in which he does this, He's unlike any other. We see even the best of kings, David, for instance. David is a remarkable man, but he screws up big time over and over and over. Yet he continually seeks God's forgiveness. Zedekiah, he was, the city was attacked, or was going to be attacked. He was nervous, so he cried out to God for mercy. But Jeremiah said to him, God's response was, look, you're not genuine. You don't really want, you're facing destruction. That's why you want my mercy, but you're not genuine. Your heart's not in the right place. But here Jesus comes, and you know, I don't know one shepherd. I know probably a shepherd would stand in the way of the lion, but once that lion gets a hold of that staff, if I'm a shepherd, I'm going to turn and run for my life, because I know it's over. I'll protect my sheep to the point, but I'm not going to die for one of the sheep. What Jesus does that is different is that He, as the good shepherd, lays down His life for the sheep. Do you see that? And He's up the ante because He's God. He's not one of us. I was thinking about, I watched this movie this week, and someone lays down their life so that the others can escape the horrible thing that's happening. So he stands against the enemy, and guns blazing, he's taking down everyone as he's being shot. You know, he's going down, he's still shooting, but the others can get away. And that's about the noblest thing a human being can do, is die for another human being or a group of human beings. We're talking about God Himself. God Himself becoming incarnate and laying down His life for sheep like us. It's an entirely another. It blows my mind, and it should blow all of our minds. We have hope here also because of God's promise of the new Exodus, so that there is now a future for you. One of the things that's helpful, you know, when you're at work and it's a difficult week and the work is piling up and you don't know how it's going to get done, what's helpful to know? Well, one day the workload will be less, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The weekend is coming. You know, maybe after work part of a Saturday, but then there's Sunday. It's good to see an end in sight. And one of the things He wants to comfort us with is the fact that no matter how bad it is right now, no matter how bad it is in your life, there is an end in sight. And He has already brought it to some extent in the new Exodus. He comforts His own people this way. Look at His promise in verses 7 through 8. So then, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north and out of all the countries where He had banished them, then they will live in their own land. He's promising them a greater thing. You know, the greatest event of the Old Testament, what was it? It was the Exodus. Israel being brought out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. He's promising them something better. And if you know anything about the history of Israel, what happens is that there is God does gather His people. But it doesn't seem as glorious as even the first Exodus. So that when we get around to the New Testament, what is the book of Matthew and other places hinting at over and over? They're hinting at the fact that, no, the new Exodus is coming in Jesus Christ. The new Exodus, this is the one to look for. This is the righteous branch. You can have hope because He brings the new Exodus. And what does He do? The greater Exodus. What does He do? He saves us from the bondage of our sin. He saves us from the kingdom of Satan. He saves us from that second death, which is hell itself, by giving Himself up as a sacrifice. He brings the new Exodus. Listen to Him. The hope He has for you this morning. He has already begun the new Exodus. And we look forward to He's still right now leading people out of bondage. See, in a sense, we're living in the midst of this now. Because He is leading people to Himself. He is leading people out of the bondage of their sin, out of the tyranny of living. Isn't this tyranny? Living for yourself day in, day out? That's tyranny. I love it when he shows me that I'm living for myself today. And He says, this is what you're doing. It's clear as day. Live for Me. He's liberating people left and right out there. And enacting the new Exodus in our midst. So that now not only do we don't say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought His people up out of Egypt, as surely as the Lord lives who brought His people down from the lands of the north. What do we say? As surely as the Lord lives who brought that person out from Mountain Street. As surely as the Lord lives who brought that person out from Carlisle or Wharton or Ellsworth. As surely as the Lord lives, He is enacting the new Exodus in our midst, all around us. You have eyes to see it. Are you listening to the voice of your shepherd? Are you working with Him to be part of this new Exodus? Listen to your shepherd's voice. Listen to your shepherd's voice. There was a man, his name was John Payton. He was a missionary to a foreign land, and he left and got there, and from the minute he got there, he was about 34 years old. When he got there, his life was just filled with suffering over and over and over and over. First thing that happened was 4 months after he was in this new land, his wife dies. 2 weeks later, his newborn baby dies. And so he ends up burying with his own two hands, because there's no one there. He was alone. He ends up burying with his own two hands both his wife and his newborn baby. And he said, were it not for the voice of my master, I would have gone insane. I was alone. But it's not for his voice. And it got worse. Over the coming years, there was civil unrest. The people of that land hated him. They hated him. And he found a few friends, shaky Christians, immature Christians. And one night, one of them came running to the door and said, look, John, you have to get out of here. They're coming for you. With their guns, they're going to kill you. And I'll show you the way. He didn't even know if he could trust this man. He followed him, and he found a tree. He hid up in the tree where no one could see him. And he heard gunshots. He heard all sorts of his house was burnt to the ground. And but he kept, as he was up in the tree, he said, the fellowship with the Lord was sweeter than I had ever known it. In the midst of suffering, he was listening to the voice of his shepherd. And so in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of whatever we are going through, listen to the voice of the shepherd. If you strayed, listen to the voice of the shepherd. He has hope for you. There is not, life does not end here if your life is in Him. Amen? He has hope for you. Listen to the voice of your shepherd. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we go astray. Help us to listen to you. Help us to be directed by you through our daily walk. Help us, Lord, as we join in this new exodus and proclaim our testimonies that we have been liberated, that the Lord has gathered us, that the Lord is at work in our midst, that the Lord is doing wonderful things and has done the most wonderful thing in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us and keep us from getting away from you. Hunt us down and bring us back into the fold where we stray. And empower us to listen to you and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please stand as we sing.